Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and Dane Neal sitting in for Wendy. Did you hear all that thunderous applause, Dane? Is that from you?
Well, I heard just a... It was an involuntary kind of a...
Just a mild...
Yeah.
Normally, when you're on with us, with Wendy and myself, every other Wednesday, we talk about foods. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes not the healthiest of foods. Sometimes we go a little frivolous.
A little bit of indulgence. Everything right? In moderation, except vegetables. Right.
But today's going to be a little bit different. Veggie Fest is coming to town. We've got not one, not two, but three guests. Dr. Kenny Dougal is here to talk about healthy eating. Beth Marchetti is here. And John Spider Sally, the legendary John Sally, all here to talk about healthy eating. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey. Thanks is my mic on?
Yeah.
My headphones are not.
Oh.
Well, don't worry about it.
You
don't
can hear it. You're all right?
Yeah, I just talked some other times. Thank you for having me.
You're sounding, to have you're sounding great. For those who can hear you, the greater Chicagoland and the Midwest and everything like that, and Sarah's going to help with the volume.
I know.
John, I know you get this all the time, but you, sir, are a very, very, very tall man.
And you, let me tell you something.
Yes.
They told me you were smart, but
yep,
when
I figured
you just looked at me and then said that, you proved it.
Well, I compared you to the size of other people here on planet Earth, and you're a tall guy.
Yeah.
You're very tall.
I'm an alien. I went to Egypt and found out I was really an alien. I touched the pyramid, felt right at home.
Did you do that 23andMe thing where they test your DNA to see what you what
No, I'm
sort
a black
of
guy, man. I know they're looking for a whole lot of things. I wasn't always just a basketball player. You're not getting my DNA.
Kenny, talk about this. You have a speech coming up at Veggie Fest called Eat Green, Get Lean. What's it all about?
So it's all about healthy eating. As a physician, I primarily treat the elderly in the rehab field, and people have gone through terrible events. They've been through strokes, heart attacks, and a lot of things that are just caused by our lifestyle and what we eat. And so I want to get the information out there that we don't need to take 38 pills a day and be stuck to that kind of regimen. We could actually just eat the right food, move around well,
yep,
make good choices early in life, and later we don't have to deal with all that.
Are we eating more poorly than ever before, would you say?
Absolutely.
We are, aren't
we? The obesity epidemic has run rampant, and it's more fat, more oil, more fried food, and a lot of it comes from convenience. You know,
fast
food has blown up, and so everybody is eating unhealthy things at every meal.
Yep.
And no one goes grocery shopping or knows how to cook anymore.
I think the awareness is there, though, and I think part of what you're doing at Veggie Fest helps with that. But also, I think the public knows, maybe they're guilty, right, that they aren't eating right. Whereas, in the past, you have doctors doing cigarette commercials. Everybody didn't know
what was the good Flintstones were doing cigarette commercials at some point. I'm not kidding.
But you really don't die from cigarettes. You die from the chemicals in tobacco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're just having, I'm not here for the tobacco company. Hey, I'm here with the tobacco company. Stand up for us, John.
Representing Lucky Strike.
But another thing is, what Doc is saying is, it's not just poor eating. It's literally laziness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, we're not cooking anymore. But I tell everybody that. They go, man, you know what, though? What about a really good steak?
Yeah.
And I go, what do you mean by that? It's just, what he's saying is, people are taking it for granted. Like we do a lot in America, we start thinking,
sure,
well, if it's easy, it's better, or it's convenient, or this is the way my mom did it.
Yeah.
Or, hey, that's why it goes in the microwave. And then when they get sick, one of the first things I find when people get sick is they want to become vegans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I became vegan so I don't become sick.
How old were you when you switched over?
I was 27.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was there one particular event that made you decide I got to start eating healthier, or was it just body
of
work?
Yeah, they told me my cholesterol was 271 and I was going to have to take a drug and my penis wasn't going to work.
That's a game changer.
Yeah, at 27?
Yeah.
That's straight talk.
Yeah.
Beth Marchetti's on the line. I hear you laughing, Beth. But I'm laughing, too. It's funny, but it's not funny, right?
Know. Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, what I am excited about is this festival has been going on for several years, and it's grown and grown, and we're expecting, you know, upwards of 50,000 people. But it's not just for vegetarians. It's for people who are just, you know, looking for a healthy lifestyle. And DuPage County, I'm the executive director of the Convention Bureau, and our brand is all about you can have a wonderful Chicago experience, but come out to the suburban market in DuPage and enjoy our healthy, enthusiastic trails and bike trails. And there's a lot of research now to back up the doctor here that, you know, getting out in the forest preserves and in the nature amenities that we have, like the Morton Arboretum and different things like that, lower your blood pressure, are good for your mental health and mood. So there's a lot of really documented research now that proves that.
Do you recommend for people who are deciding that this is a good lifestyle for them, do you do it cold turkey or do you do it gradually?
No cold turkey.
No, well, no, right. maybe turkey is the wrong word to use. Thanks, John.
Some sensitivity
cold turkey. Cold
turkey.
Tastes better in the morning anyway.
I bet it does. So, but is this the kind of thing that you want to just turn it off like a switch and say, I'm going to start eating healthy from this day forward, or do you want to just pick it up a little bit at a time?
I think no matter when you're going to start, you have to have a good plan in advance.
Yeah.
And each person can do that differently. If you eat meat at every meal, it's good to start out by cutting down one meal a day and doing things a little gradually.
Yeah.
But if you feel like you have a good plan, you have a good support system, you've gone and meal planned, you've gone grocery shopping, you know what to eat when, whether you're going out to eat or socializing with friends afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, if you got a barbecue coming up, you got to know what to do.
Sure.
And those could be high-pressure situations where everyone's grilling a burger, and, hey, where's your burger?
Yeah.
You know, so it's good to have it planned out.
Well, John had mentioned a little bit about people are lazy, or they want to do what they want to do, or they want to do what they like or feel comfortable with, and sort of in that kind of easing into it, sort of the meat-related nicotine patch is a lot of the, I don't say imitation meats, but they've really gotten good. When I attended Veggie Fest a number of years ago, there were a lot of those substitutes where they made a burger that looked like a burger, tasted like a burger. We've come a long way, right? Some of this stuff is in the news. Are you going to highlight those items too?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I went to school here, I went to University of Illinois, mm-hmm. all we could get to eat was grilled cheese and spaghetti and pizza late night. My dad moved here in 1968. When he came here in 68, all he could eat was pizza, spaghetti, and grilled cheese. In 32 years after he got here, nothing changed. But in the last 5 to 10 years, there's been a big explosion in the plant-based market.
Yeah.
So part of that is meat substitutes or meat imitations. And those I see as a great step to going to a more healthy diet.
Yeah.
However, they are still processed. And the real goal is to get to whole foods and to a plant-based diet, not just substitutes. I could eat chips and Coke all day and call myself a vegan.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm healthy.
Right. You miss it at all, John?
Miss what?
Miss steaks, hamburgers, that sort of thing.
You know what I miss? I miss my friends that have died from heart disease. I miss my mom's had to have her leg removed because diabetes.
Yeah.
I miss those easy ways of doing things. But as far as missing eating dead animal carcass, no, I don't.
Yeah.
But I just thought I'd put it
right,
that way because
right.
You said burgers.
Straight talk, right?
You know, I just do it just to make you cringe. No, but the I only make jokes that way because, you know, it just makes you think for a second. And when he said imitation and it tastes like a burger is a burger, I'm with Beyond Meat, right?
Yeah.
I'm invested in Beyond Meat. And one of the things is I realized that food is tradition. Like in the Indian tradition, I was sitting around eating with my other friend, Reginda, and he was like, you know, if you put some peppers on that, it's going to change the taste of this and this. And then my mom's used to put it this way. Same thing here, right? Well, at Thanksgiving, I get the collard greens. And you got to get Aunt Maisie to make this, right? It is tradition, but it doesn't have to have things that stay in your body or make you sick.
Right.
We have better cheeses. We have things you better butter. I believe using if you do use the oil, I use grapeseed oil.
Mm-hmm.
I do all the cooking. So it's fun, too, because I taught my daughters how to cook. So it's a good pick.
My mom used to make this asbestos salad. Should we cut back on that, or is that still... That's all right to still eat
here. Hey, man, if you feel like... we used to eat lead salad because it would chip off the wall.
Oh, delicious.
tasty.
No, but John, you mentioned... Okay, 27 is when you decided to go vegan, well within your career. I know there's a lot of the downside on the health. On the extreme side, people don't want to be sick and people don't want to die. But for those people listening that maybe aren't sick but think, hey, this could be a great way to optimize my performance as a top athlete.
Go.
How did it work? Were you able? Did you feel a letdown? Were you elevated? How did it feel?
I lost a whole lot of not a lot of weight. I lost a lot of feces because that's what happens when you finally give your body food, real food, whole mm-hmm. foods, not just the store. But if you give it some vegetables, some fruits, some nuts, some seeds, and legumes,
right.
What happens is your body will eliminate all the stuff it's been holding on to. And my energy went up. My face cleared up. I was getting adult acne, they called it, on my head and my back. My attitude changed. My breath changed. My feet no longer smelled.
No.
And I know it sounds crazy, but it was all those toxins, and my body was going away.
Yeah.
And my libido went up. and which was already at 90. So now I'm at 190. So all of these things that, and the reason I mention those, if you pay attention, those are the things that they tell men is why you have to go get certain pills at 35 years old. Yeah. Why you have to get, I'm not going to say the company names because they don't pay me, Lipitor, but why you have to go through that. If you are a race car and you are an Indy car, you get the high octane fuel. Why, if you're a high octane athlete, would you not put high octane fuel in your body? You should not be able to leave the game and sit next to a guy in the stands who was in the stands in the same restaurant. You should not do that.
Makes sense.
That's
how
I do it.
It makes sense. Dr. Dougal, true or false, the incidence of cancer go down dramatically among vegans as opposed to non-vegans?
Absolutely true, 100%. The two biggest causes of death, especially in the Western world, are heart disease and cancer.
Yeah.
The two biggest related diseases to obesity and to meat consumption are cardiovascular disease, heart disease, and cancer. And so colon cancer, breast, pancreatic cancer, bone cancers, they all decrease and drop through the floor when you go to a plant-based diet.
Yeah.
A lot of the treatments now are actually starting people initially, as soon as they're diagnosed or even before it's preventative, saying eliminate the animal products. You will injury-proof your body. And even with cardiovascular disease, you drop the risk of a heart attack or stroke 40%.
40%.
Huge,
amazing.
Huge changes.
Yep.
Wow.
Beth, how has the fair changed? How has Veggie Fest changed in the years you've been involved? What are you guys doing now that you weren't doing a few years ago?
Well, there's a lot more opportunities to have a really fun time and be inspired. Like the doctor said, you have to have a plan, but to be inspired with small changes and be in a very fun atmosphere with lots of bands, cooking demonstrations, different things that you can taste, you can come away really inspired. And, you know, DuPage is one of the healthiest counties in Illinois, so it's a perfect setting that this Veggie Fest, which has grown and grown and grown, is right here in DuPage County, in the village of Lisle, and there's lots of things to see and do that are urban and healthy and in the area while you're here. So we're hoping that people will come out and enjoy this wonderful festival.
Give the website if you could, please.
Well, the information is on our website, www.discoverdupage.com, and the Veggie Fest is all right there.
Yeah. Are you guys okay on time? Do you have time for a break and stick around? Is that okay?
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
You're paying me.
We'll pick up this. Did they tell you we were paying you, John?
Paying me no attention.
Uh-oh. We'll pick this conversation up next with Dr. Kenny Dougal, with Beth Marchetti, and of course, John Spider Sally. It's Bill and Danen for Wendy on WGN.
Like to talk to tomatoes. If a squash can make you smile.
Early Stones.
Well, and from the celebrity appearance side, you never know. Are the Fruit of the Loom guys going to be there?
Oh, you don't know, Dane. No one's saying. No. We're talking about Veggie Fest coming up this weekend. We've got Beth Marchetti on the line, Executive Director of the DuPage Convention and Visitors Bureau. Dr. Kenny Dougal is here. He'll be speaking on Sunday. The topic, Eat Green, Get Lean, and John Spider Sally, NBA great and acting great, John Spider Sally is here. He'll be speaking Saturday, Elite Athletes on a Plant-Based Diet. John, I did a little research on you, and in addition to this, you're now kind of an entrepreneur with cannabis-based products. Mm-hmm. Do these work together or against each other?
Not during this event.
Not during this event.
Not during this event. But this event separately. Is focused on veggie, and my cannabis company is with my daughter.
Yeah.
I'm like the new executive vice president of Cannavera, of Leading Edge. It's a CBD company, and you're going to be hearing CBD, CBG, CBV. The Bee Gees. You're going to hear so much.
I love those guys.
Staying
alive.
There we go.
Staying alive. So that's what we're going to be doing, staying alive. And so I'm more focused, like Kenny, on the health aspect. I realize this is the only body you have, right?
Right.
So this is a 1964 Mustang. Lee Iacocca already approved it.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing it out here. In mint condition.
Well, here's the thing that I think is really interesting, too. You'll have celebrities of whatever kind of walk of notoriety, and they can get involved and be enthusiastic and be, you know, a part of products. But But John really has been walking the walk, right?
Yeah.
You figure since 27, and then off the air we were talking a little bit about the CBD side, and since 2009, that's before most people even heard of it, mm-hmm. right? And out there exploring it and benefiting from it. So when he's there at Veggie Fest talking, I mean, you're getting somebody who knows what it is and, you know,
you have the new address, too. As you made a good mention, we're going to be out in nature. This is another thing, too. This is a wonderful city.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
I've told everybody. This is my favorite city.
Oh, good.
But the city that I like I used to think I like more was San Francisco until I realized it was as cold as Chicago.
In August.
So I love this city, and it's wonderful seeing these buildings and this architecture.
Yeah.
But come out. Come out to Lyle's, right?
Yeah.
It's in Lyle, Donata South Park. Yeah, it's a new location this year.
Get your kids to walk on the grass before we go to school. Mm-hmm. Get you reconnect to what you are. You're not of this concrete. You're of this earth. So reconnect. Come hang out with your boy. Bring your grandma or your grandpa. Kenny gonna check the vitals.
And their hips.
And their hips.
Yeah,
you know, sure, hey, man.
Yeah.
He's gonna give you a card, he's gonna cut you a break on the operation. But it's the reason I said yes is on Instagram I'm part of this Reunited Vegan group, and this guy Plant Based Ben, who literally shredded his body from being, like, I looked at it, he was not attractive. Not that he's attractive to me now.
Yeah.
It's just that he literally took his body reversed.
Transformed it.
Yeah, plant-based. He told me about this, and he said, yeah, they're trying to get in touch with you. And then when I researched it, I came all the way from Los Angeles in a comfy place right on the beach in Malibu to be here in the woods.
Oh. Dr. Dougal, what do you say to somebody that come to you, they go, look, I'm 50 years old, I haven't taken care of myself, I'm 35 pounds overweight, I'm not eating right. It's not too late, is it?
Not at all. 50 is very young nowadays. I work in places where my average age is 85 to 90 sometimes.
Yeah.
And people at that age are making huge changes because they know that life expectancy is getting longer, we're living a lot longer,
yep.
And with that, we're living longer with disease. Now, at 50, you can do great strides because you might already have early high blood pressure, early diabetes, high cholesterol. You can reverse it. It's not just about prevention. It's about treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally reverse heart disease by putting plants in your body and letting them heal up your blood vessels. If you think about heart attacks, strokes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, they're all the same thing. Our body is just a system of tubes. Those tubes carry our blood.
Yep.
And then when we eat bad things, they get tight, and then the pressure goes up. If that causes a blockage in your heart, we call it a heart attack. If it's in your brain, it's called a stroke. They're the same thing. When you eat plants and get rid of animal products in your body, the plants actually heal those vessels. They open them back up, so your blood flows fine. There goes blood pressure, stroke, diabetes, heart attacks, right out the window.
Yeah.
So it's never too late to change.
I just want to ask you, John, real quick. You've had something of a business relationship with Michelle Obama. You convinced her to eat healthier, didn't you, at some point?
Did she need convincing? I really wish I had some say-so with the former first lady. I challenged her to, you know, they put the garden at the White House,
yeah.
And I challenged her to go vegan. But I didn't call her directly, you know. I did it over the airways because I was looking for some pub.
Yeah.
But what it did is, I knew she wasn't going to answer, but it did make everyone pay attention. And as Doc just said, I was on a stage talking about diabetes.
Yeah.
And I said, you can refer. I did a documentary, Simply Raw, Reversing Diabetes. And she got, get back on stage. You can't say that. And I got back on stage. I said, I'm sorry. Reversing the effects of diabetes. And she was
more
like,
accurate.
I was like, can I say that? So obviously the Diabetes Association, they don't have me. I'm surprised Kenny and them called me with the Veg Fest because I say it as I feel it. But he is 100% right. This is the only body you have.
Yep.
Treat it right. And early diet, and I can speak to people of color. When women get a heart attack, women of color, they die. Usually, it's fatal. When they get breast cancer, it's the highest and it's the worst form. When we get that, it's always at this point. And there's only 44 million black people on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, 44 million black people in America, and we have the worst diets, and we're eating still the leftover foods that we should not be eating.
Yeah.
So I'm not telling people what to do. I'm just showing you what you should
do. Yep. So nice to meet you, John.
I've been a fan forever.
I know that. Dr. Dougal, I've been a fan of yours for even longer than I was a fan of John.
How'd you get past my security? What is going on here?
And Beth Marchetti, if you could, make the pitch again. Let everyone know what they need to know about Veggie Fest. Where is it? When is it? Why is it?
It's in the Village of Lisle. I am encouraging everyone. My key word of the month is balance, right? So you're going to get little tips on yoga, breathing, meditation, and it's not, you know, it's going to give you really real life examples of what you can do to incorporate in your daily life. And there's going to be examples. And so you don't have to be 100%. You can be taking little tips away from this. And, again, our website's discoverdupage.com, but for a really good breakdown of all the information, veggiefestchicago.com is also a good resource for you.
That's the way to do it. Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate
it. Thank
you. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff, and it's Dane Neal. Dane is sitting in for Wendy. Wendy has the day off. Normally, at the beginning of the show, Dane, we don't have guests, so there's time to just chat back and forth and say hello. We didn't have that because there were guests at the top of the show, so hello.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
We just can do it in reverse order.
Right.
There's no rules.
I just got through, with you, thanks for being here, I just got through an interview about Veggie Fest, and I had to, I counted 31 times, I had to say veggie, which is one of my least favorite words because I think it's deceptive. Because as a kid, I didn't like vegetables. As an adult, I don't like vegetables. But as a kid, I hated vegetables.
What, it makes it sound too fun?
Well, somebody...
It's like the Joe Camel.
Somebody in the vegetable marketing department said there's too many people who just don't like vegetables. So I think if we call them veggies, they'll seem like they're your friends.
Yes.
And everybody picked up on it. Everybody just went, yeah, all right, we'll start calling vegetables veggies. That makes them seem innocuous. Yeah.
Well, big and important and well-paid lobby groups and marketing companies are oftentimes sitting around enormous conference tables.
Yes.
You know, charts and graphs, and here's me, here's you, PowerPoints, coming up with little things like veggie.
As subliminal as it is, it works somehow. I don't know how. School is starting up very, very soon. I'm already talking to people whose kids are going back in a week. I can't believe it. We never went back before Labor Day. It was always the day after Labor Day is when you started school. For some reason now, some schools start up in the middle of August. Have you taken, you're the father of three.
Yes.
Have you and your wife taken the kids to get the back to school supplies yet?
A little bit. It's kind of in, you know, not in that one big giant, okay, let's fill up a bunch of shopping carts with all sorts of, you know, socks and underwear and spirals and Trapper Keepers or whatever the modern day equivalent is. No, I think they've got backpacks and maybe they're getting some shoes here and there that we haven't gone in for the whole, because you get a list from the school that you've got
of mandatory, you have to get these things.
All these different things, you know, Elmer's glue, everything. Elmer's glue and crayons and
is
markers.
Is Kleenex on that list?
Sure, oh because yeah. And paper towels. And
when I went to school, there was Kleenex. If you needed Kleenex, there was a Kleenex box. But then when my daughters went to school, there were things like Kleenex and Windex and things like that that every student had to also bring in.
Windex, wow.
Windex.
I think
they went to a glass school. Did I mention that?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
They didn't throw stones.
No. They were told day one, Steve, to not throw stones.
Feels like in
school.
Full transparency.
Right.
Yeah, there's some, I think, wipes, like, I don't know, like those Clorox wipes or something. I don't know what you do with, I think those are cleaning and not personal hygiene.
Right.
I haven't consulted the list, you know, that recently. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff, and we haven't necessarily done it yet. I do feel... There's part of me that feels like the kids of today are getting sort of kind of ripped off from their summer because they go to school, you know, pretty deep,
a little bit later,
deep into June, and then they're back like middle of August. But then when you look at the dark clouds of education on the horizon, you know, in the whole world, everybody just goes, you know, the full year, and then you really can't make a case for why people need the summers off. You know, wasn't it so they could go help on the farm?
In the old days,
olden days. And you just don't have as much kids, at least in our neighborhood, helping on farms. And so I'm surprised we've been able to maintain that. I don't know if that's, the teachers or...
Right.
Certainly the kids are for it. And the parents, I guess, are sort of for it for vacations. But, yeah, why don't kids go year-round?
Would you want your kids to go to school year-round? Is that better for them, do you think?
Well, I'm a fan of my kids, and I know that they enjoy their summers.
Yeah.
So maybe once they're out of that, then we can go to the draconian
year-round. I was counting the days until I loved school, but there's nothing better than summer vacation.
Nothing.
I was always aware of how many days until summer vacation. At any point in the year, if you asked me, I'd go, well, this is exactly how many days to the letter.
It was, and imagine if there wasn't that reprieve, if it was getting right into like the first couple of days of June, and you know, because in those last couple of days are really just kind of, you know, nothing big's happening,
right,
kind of just coasting through, yeah, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And then you've got summer. Think about how depressing it would be. And I don't know, maybe it wouldn't be if you just didn't know any better, but just the thought if there was no summer, I was like, well, next week we're just going to come back.
Two of my cousins went to a school where they were considering, they didn't pass it, but they were considering a year-round school year, and then they get more and shorter vacations throughout the year.
Like,
but they were considering that
Christmas break. And or,
my cousin said, "Then we will live somewhere else. We so don't want that, yeah, that we will convince our parents, well, and uncle to move."
I think they tried it in several areas in Chicago.
And, did they, Steve?
Yeah, and maybe 10 years ago or so, and abandoned it because they didn't see much of a.
No advantage?
No, and it wasn't better.
Hmm.
Well, aren't they saying there's statistics out there that from an educational standpoint, the rest of the world is passing us by?
Right.
Right?
You
maybe
hear that a lot.
You know, on, you know, whether it's, you know, the math and science aptitudes, but I think you have to factor in, and
right,
we're just hearing from the Veggie Fest guys, quality of life.
Right.
Isn't there some value there?
Yeah.
And I think just that kind of family time, too, to get out there and do the whole Clark Griswold family vacation.
Right.
Or even just like have the kids get up at 11, have nothing to do, and go swim with their friends.
Yeah,
just as kind of a release valve.
Yeah. What was the school supply item you looked forward to the most? Was there one in particular that you just thought, oh, school's coming and I don't want school to come, but at least I get a new
I don't know. I wasn't excited about any of it. One that was intriguing because of, I think, its versatility to build into other kind of play situations was we used to have the pencil cases that had the sort of garage door opening thing where you'd be able to like open it.
Wait, what does that mean?
Well, it was like, imagine a pencil case.
Yeah.
But maybe 3 inches by whatever length of pencil.
And there was an electronic component?
Well, it wasn't electronic, but, you know, but they had a sliding door where it would kind of garage door itself into the back of the. I thought those were kind of cool. And then the trapper keepers, they have something similar now, but usually it's built in for like an iPad or something. But remember those? They had cool pictures.
I do remember.
You open them up and there's all sorts of little pockets and and then of course your calculator. I don't know, you know,
every year we were forced to buy a protractor and I don't think we ever used it ever.
Just danger.
I don't know why we had to buy one.
That was
year.
The school-based dangerous toy.
The protractor.
That's the thing with the. Oh no, is that the compass? That's the compass.
The compass is the one where you can draw a perfect circle. We did use those at least once and sometimes twice a year.
Okay. The protractor was the kind of half moon ruler thing.
Yeah.
Useless. Other than the ruler part.
I'm sure that if you were a kid that knew they were going to go into the engineering field, I'm positive that was beneficial.
Actually, the kids who are really good at drawing on their notebooks often use the protractor.
Right. That's what you do.
Yeah. Right.
You could draw circles with it. You know, it's so weird. When I mention things to the kids about things in the past, you know, whether it's the school-based stuff or even just like, hey, when your mom and I were kids, we only had a couple phones in the house and they were attached to the wall. And all I get is, well, that's dumb. Why would you want to do that?
And you have to admit that they're correct.
I know, but it's all we had.
I know. All right, we will continue this discussion. If you want to jump in, you can. We're talking about school supplies. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Dane Neal in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Dane Neal. Wendy has the day off. She'll be back on Monday. Hooking up words and phrases and clauses. School starting. Hard to believe, but school's just a week or so away for some. Some get to wait until next month, September. Lucky them.
Sad that the kids don't maybe have as easy access to Schoolhouse Rock as... Because I remember there was at least multiple times where on tests I used the memorized songs. Yes, I did.
Yep, it helped. Karen's on the line. Karen, we're talking about various school supplies. Some worth it, some not worth it. What was your favorite? Karen? No? Karen was going to say... I'm pretty sure she was going to say tempera paints. It says on the screen tempura paints, but those are...
Edible.
Edible and deep fried and not good for you.
Yeah, you'd paint your shrimp and then eat it.
Right. Remember those?
I would love that.
Those were delicious.
Burnt umber was my favorite flavor.
You'd always, usually in third or fourth grade, you'd make something out of paper mache, and then you would use the tempera paints to make it more three-dimensional.
There was the heft of the full packet of construction paper.
Oh, yes.
You know, the ones that had the multicolor that you would tear off at the top?
Yep.
Just the feeling of that.
Right.
You knew you were ready for the world.
Also, the smell of something that had recently been mimeographed. Yeah. Remember that aroma?
Especially if it was slightly damp.
Right.
With that kind of purplish ink.
I love it. Purple-blue ink.
Yeah. I love that.
And just the smell. And you would see as you, because the teacher would always hand them to the kids at the front of each row and say, pass them back. But you would see as they were passed back, each kid like they were warm crescent rolls. The most pleasing aroma there is. I remember when we would get the crayon box, and not that my family was overly wealthy, but we would get the 72, the jumbo set.
Whoa, with the combination sharpener built in?
It had a sharpener in the back, yeah. Wow. Not bragging. But you'd open that box up the first time, and to me, it looked like bleachers at a sporting event. And the people were sat by groups, the blues over here, the orange-reds over there, the browns over there. And I always thought in my head that the richer section was the one that had the gold, the silver, and the copper, because it just had a metallic, ritzy look to it.
On the so 72, was it just like multi-hues within the color group, or were there some that just didn't exist, like maybe the metallics didn't exist in the...
Some of the color differences were so subtle, but I always remember as a kid, there were some, like, you had blue-green, but then you also had green-blue.
Yes.
And the difference between those two was 1/1,000th of a degree of color.
They were actually probably, fun fact, maybe they were the same crayon with a different wrapper.
I think it was. I think it was. And as a kid, I couldn't figure out, and again, as an adult, I still can't really figure out the importance of the white crayon. Doesn't that seem like a waste of wax? If you had a coloring book and the page was white and you were coloring something white, there was no difference at all. Zero.
Right, but if you had Steve's full complement of construction paper and colors,
then
you're good.
That's true. If you're using a colored base, if it was a blue piece of construction paper, then I guess the white would come in handy.
And most of the coloring books had that sort of pulp paper color. White.
Yeah, but I just remember as beautiful as it looked on that first day when you didn't use a single crayon, when every one of them had the exact same tip on it. Like 3 weeks later, your midnight blue was worn way down. You know, there were certain colors that were worn way down. But the white stood alone as the one crayon that's like, I've never been used. I'm as fresh as the day I was purchased. Been used.
And not unlike maybe the attendance levels at certain schools as you get into the school year.
Right.
There just was less people there.
No, so that's
true. There's like a lot missing.
That's true. No, that's true. That's very, very true. Now, how about this? At our school, if you used a calculator, you'd get suspended. If you were in math class and you pulled out a calculator for any math problems and used a calculator, that was grounds for suspension. But now that's a requirement. You have to bring in at least a standard calculator. And my daughters took classes in high school where there were $300 calculators that we had to buy for them.
It seems like cheating, right? When you think like, okay, well, the machine is helping you.
Right.
But when, I guess, technology gets to a point where it's just so prevalent and so necessary that it's like, well, when would you ever find yourself
without a calculator, without your phone nearby to do some quick calculations for you?
So it's just, it's just crazy how things have changed, even just the way that the kids do the math and all that. You know, the whole long division thing is a little bit different, and there's a bunch of things. I think once they got to about like third or fourth grade, when they bring like, oh, go help him with his homework.
Right.
You know, for certain things, you're like, okay.
Right, right.
Now that they're in seventh grade, they do things a little bit differently. And some of it's obvious, but there are some changes out there. You know, and they do a lot more homework than I remember having.
Way more.
Even in first grade, Vivian is going to be doing, 30 minutes of homework almost every night.
How heavy are your kids' backpacks? Are they mind-numbingly heavy?
It's so heavy. It's
shocking,
and
isn't it?
As though their lockers aren't absolutely jam packed too.
Oh, I know,
right? But it's so heavy where they just have every single book. Where you're thinking this could hurt your back over time.
There were a few different occasions where I would pick my daughters up from school, and they would take their backpacks off and throw them in the back seat, and then when we'd get out of the car at home, I'd go and get the backpacks, and I'd reach for them, and they look heavy, but not as heavy as they truly are. And then when I lift them up, I go, my little daughters who are a quarter of the size of me are carrying around this many books all day. How did they not get a hernia?
Yeah, and they have a desk. where they could put stuff in a locker. But I don't know. For some reason, people just carry. Eleanor, and this is poor. I'm sure she's not listening, but she carries usually a week's worth of lunches along with it. You're like, come on, throw this
out.
Does
she really?
Not on purpose. Yeah. She just doesn't throw it away. It's like a half-eaten banana. You're like, what are you doing?
Right, toss it at some point. So you're usually the one, out of you and your wife, are you the one that takes them supply shopping for school, or is it your wife, or is it both of you?
We all do. And it's sort of a tag team situation where, you know, you're doing a little bit of some. I'm sure I'll end up going to whether it's Walmart or one of these other places and dumping in all of the, okay, I need, you know, three crayons, I need three Elmer's glue, I need a bunch of paper towels or whatever it is on those kind of more sensitive purchases, you know, like what kind of shoes do you want.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Esther will do that. Or the backpack, which is also kind of an extension of your personality. So Vivian has gone from, I think she had flowers and maybe a kitten or something, and now there's sort of a Space the Final Frontier Nebula kind of look.
Are lunchboxes still a thing, or does no kid carry a lunchbox anymore? Is it just bags?
They have them.
They still make lunchboxes?
Yeah, it depends on how, at least for our kids, you know, one or two of them, like Vivian's always really good about bringing her lunch bag back. And you know, and then the other ones, sometimes it's, you know, they leave it at school for a while, so then you just have to make do with a paper bag or something.
Do me a favor, because I'll see you again on Wednesday when you're in for your regular segment. Ask them what the coolest lunchbox is right now. Like, what is the lunchbox that if a kid carries that lunchbox in school, they go, oh, that guy's got to be cool. He's got that lunchbox.
And I'll find out. So I'll do a little bit of recon and come up with specific information. But they have gravitated away from, before it was okay to have, you know, cartoon characters on there. It was almost cool to have like a superhero on there or on their underwear. And now they're just growing up, these guys. And they're like, that's dumb. We can't do that. Or they feel that they, you know.
So if I show up at school with a Hoppity Hooper lunchbox, the kids will applaud me or make fun of me? What would they do?
I would lean towards the making fun, unless they appreciated the rarity and the value of the original Hoppity Hooper.
I'm positive that's the way it would play out. All right, it's Bill Left. Dane Neal is sitting in for Wendy. We've got news next, and then a whole lot more coming your way. Stick around. It's WGN. Thank you, Steve. Wendy has the day off, and so Dane Neal is sitting in for Wendy. I'm Bill. I'm usually here. Alexander Zalbin joins us right now. He comes by every Friday, and we talk about the world of television. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday.
Good to talk to you. The last couple of weeks, as you've been on with us, I've been moaning and complaining about the fact that I'm not able to watch any CBS. There was a rift in the contract between CBS and my cable satellite provider. That has been cleared up. I don't know if you had anything to do with it, but if you did, thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. I called every day, and finally they made it happen.
Good.
So you're welcome.
Your name means something.
Persistence pays off.
You got to be persistent. Absolutely.
I am the managing editor of Decider.com. You do this.
CBS back on. All right, so here's my question. What does this mean going forward? I know in the past, every once in a while, I'll be watching a show on satellite, and there'll be a crawl at the bottom of the line, bottom of the screen that says, they're up for renegotiation. Please call and let them know that you love this network and you don't want to lose it. CBS, I never expected this, but they were gone for more than 3 weeks. That's a long time. Mm-hmm. Is this going to keep happening now as every network's contract is up for renewal? Is that going to happen more and more, do you think?
Yeah, it's something that's happening more in a round, almost, with different networks as it goes in different places. As you mentioned, the contracts expire. And now that they have all these streaming services, now that CBS has CBS All Access, for example, as leverage, they can say to the cable providers, listen, we don't need you. We'll drive people here instead. They'll get the programming. They'll get it more efficiently. And that gives them that leverage they need to get the deal they want. So I think, you know, you're not going to see nonstop outages all over the place of every single channel quite yet, just because cable still is part of the atmosphere. But over the next year or two, tons more streaming services are being added. There's going to be a lot more focus there. And I would say 3-4 years down the road, we may be having a very different conversation about this.
You wonder if there, and we all remember, of course, the classic movie War Games, where they were able to kind of do all the scenarios and realize that it only works out one way, and this is it. I mean, I remember a handful of years ago, or a few years ago, where WGN was disputed with Dish, and so for a long time, you couldn't get any of the programming. It was really frustrating, but in the end, it always works out. Isn't there there a way that they can just kind of maybe run through the scenarios and decide that eventually this is going to work out, let's just avoid the whole thing? Or is there some kind of purpose to the whole denying people and see who squeaks the loudest, or to see if they can get Alexander to call in every day?
Oh yeah, right. What do you think?
That's the main goal, is to get me on the phone every day as much as possible. But it's a very difficult and scary time for TV providers, whether you're coming from the network perspective or cable perspective or the streaming perspective. Nobody knows what's going to happen at this point, generally because there's so much TV on all three of those things. Viewers have become bifurcated across the board. You're seeing even the top shows on TV are not getting nearly half of what they used to get even 2 or 3 years ago. So everybody's sort of panicking at this point. We don't know how it's going to shake out or fall out. Certainly, streaming itself is relatively new. It's only about 5-ish years old at this point.
Yeah.
So it's not like that's the new normal. So I think right now everybody's waiting it out and thinking, okay, is this going to be permanent? Is everything actually moving over to streaming? Is cable dead? Or is streaming just a fad that's going to implode itself and everybody will come back to cable? And that's why you still have these back and forths, why you still have these fights, because A, the nervousness is playing in there, but also B, people still feel like they have enough push behind them to push other folks to do what they need to do.
A couple of years ago, several people made the suggestion of offering cable or satellite through an a la carte service, whereas if you normally get 200 channels, 300, 400 channels, you get to pick the 12 or 14 or 15 that you want and only pay for those. Has there been any progress in that, or is that just an idea that went away?
Yeah, there's a new thing, people call it skinny bundles, so it's just sort of getting individual channels, and there's a lot of different outlets. I believe Fubo is one, they're very focused on sports. Sling TV is another one of those, where you can kind of just pick and choose which channels you want versus, as you said, the 400 things.
Yeah.
The new thing that we're moving into, which adds another element in there, is streaming bundles that people are going to start talking about, essentially reinventing cable, but on streaming. And Disney came out with the first really big one the other day, where they said their new Disney Plus service, which is launching on November 12th, is going to bundle with Hulu, which Disney owns the majority stake in, and ESPN Plus. And I believe they're charging $12.99 a month for all three of those services, which, granted, is basically like getting ESPN Plus, which sports fans, as far as I've heard, are a little iffy on, for about $1 a month above the price of Hulu and Disney Plus. But at the same time, you're getting a lot of content, and that might be, frankly, all the content you need.
Right. True. True. All right. Story number one, and this one, I'm a little leery of this change, but I understand it. The last Academy Awards went hostless. There was nobody hosting for years and years and years. You'd find a top comedian hosting the Academy Awards. The Academy Awards said, no, we're not going to do it this year. There were some problems with Kevin Hart, so they went without a host. Now, the Emmys are going to do the exact same thing when they broadcast the Emmy Awards. What do you make of this, Alex?
Well, their company line, this is the first year that Fox is doing the Emmy Awards, or at least the first time in recent years that they're doing the Emmy Awards. And their company line is that so many big shows ended, they want to give them time to shine. You have Game of Thrones, you have Veep, you have Big Bang Theory, et cetera, et cetera. So they want to keep it focused on the shows versus the way that they said it was taking 12 to 15 minutes to focus on the host. It takes time away from TV. You'll still see bits, you'll still see performances and other things. You just won't have that opening monologue or anything like that.
So you like it this way, or you like it the old way? Which way is better?
I like a host.
I do too.
It keeps things moving. You know, Amy Poehler had actually a really good joke about it when she was asked, where she said, oh, I always love going to a house party and not knowing whose house it is. And I think that was pretty apt.
I will say the Academy Awards, the streamlined version that ran last year, was pretty fast and entertaining, but the thing I looked forward to the most was the host coming on and making fun of the industry, and that's gone now.
It's an organizing principle in a certain way. It's very much a thankless job because everybody focuses on, was the host terrible, was the host great, and nowhere in between.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's somebody who just, you know, you had that Jimmy Kimmel moment when you had Moonlight and La La Land and you had the whole mix up there. If Jimmy Kimmel wasn't there, that would have been
chaos.
Even more of a horror show than it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll miss the host, but it'll also be fine.
Well, if they're able to do things to kind of highlight the different programs or have sort of what feels like multiple hosts where you've got people doing expanded kind of presentation sure. roles and things like that. And mm-hmm. I mean, I love the host situation, but really I love the people that have been the hosts, because it's always such a glaring thing when you get somebody that's not a good fit for it and everyone's like mm-hmm. like, oh, this is terrible, or you know, so you have the ability with that one individual personality, you can't be Billy Crystal every year, right? That can kind of almost ruin things. So maybe it's a little safer too, right? Where you're not banking on that one personality to kind of carry or not carry it. You can kind of diversify it and highlight a bunch of people.
Yeah, I think there's definitely advantages to it. The one other disadvantage is you'll always have some presenter or group of presenters over the course of the night that are so good that everybody socially goes online on Twitter and says, why weren't they hosting?
Right.
Why didn't they host this evening? And there's always a good reason, whether it's money or scheduling or something like that. But it's something that doesn't necessarily hurt the show, it seems like, if it's not there. But it does feel like there's a hole at the same time, something that should have been there.
We're talking to Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you like television. Stick around, more ahead. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Dane Neal. Dane is sitting in for Wendy. She will return on Monday. We're talking about television. Alex, of course, the managing editor of Decider.com. Alex, I may have spoken too soon about the CBS problem being resolved. There's a couple of texts. One says this. Hey, guys, this call is for the Champaign-Urbana area. It still isn't on here. It hasn't been on since July the 8th. I thought that they took care of the problem nationwide, but apparently there's pockets that didn't fit into this. Alex, do you know anything about that?
No, I don't. I'll definitely look into it. But I was also, I thought they had ended everything nationwide as well. So I'm not quite sure what's going
more
on.
More phone
there.
Calls Maybe for you this some. Morning.
Yep, got to make
more
another
phone
call.
Calls for you. Sorry yeah. about that.
Sorry. It's all right. I'll hop on the phone.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Done,
some Game of Thrones news, sort of. It's the people who ran Game of Thrones. They've signed a deal. What's going on there?
Yeah, this is David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who are the showrunners of Game of Thrones. There's been a bidding war, basically, to see what their next move is going to be. One of the next things they're going to be doing is taking over a Star Wars movie trilogy. They're writing that right now. But from the TV perspective, they finally closed a deal. It's a $200 million deal to make them exclusively creating TV shows for Netflix. Apparently, HBO was in the mix there for a little while, as well as some other outlets, but ultimately Netflix one out. It's super fascinating, I think, for fans of Game of Thrones, particularly anybody who is mixed about the final season, because they were very heavily behind that. But at the same time, they're going to be creating these shows. They're joining Ryan Murphy and Shonda Rhimes and other big-name showrunners over there. So Netflix is really gathering the wagon, so to speak, when it comes to talent.
The people that put together that O.J. Simpson miniseries a couple of seasons ago just announced their newest product. It's a similar miniseries about Monica Lewinsky. We heard a little bit about mm-hmm. this yesterday. Do you know anything more than was disclosed yesterday?
Yeah, this is, I believe the actual title is Impeachment, American Crime Story. So this is the next iteration of the American Crime Story saga. They're all anthologies, so they all focus on different things, but they use some similar actresses and actors throughout, produced by Ryan Murphy. Sarah Paulson, I believe, is going to be in it. I'm forgetting who else is in the rest of the cast. But the big thing about it is it's going to be released close to the 2010 election, and Monica Lewinsky is one of the producers.
Wow.
Of it. So, yeah, it should be very interesting to watch. I'll mention both that and the Gianni Versace season of American Crime Story, where a tremendous television, really responsible, really well done, really powerful. So whatever you might think about it, and certainly it's going to be a hot button topic, it also should be very, very good.
The only casting I remember from yesterday's announcement was that Beanie Feldstein, the sister of Jonah Hill, and a fine actress in her own right, she's going to play Monica Lewinsky. You just mentioned Sarah Paulson. She could potentially play Hillary Clinton, couldn't she? Or is that not their plan?
Just look this up while we were chatting. Sarah Paulson is playing Linda Tripp, which is pretty perfect. Annalee Ashford is the third person they mentioned who's playing Paula Jones. But there's no casting otherwise. That said, Ryan Murphy kind of goes for his own stable of actors pretty often, so yeah. Expect some familiar big names as they get closer.
We were trying to figure out yesterday who would be the best person to play Bill Clinton, and Hillary Clinton to some extent, but especially Bill Clinton. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of terrible at the casting game, necessarily.
Yeah.
I think if you get Kate McKinnon as Hillary Clinton, though, that would be kind of amazing just to see her do a little bit of drama there.
Yep.
But Bill, I'm not quite sure.
That's a tough call. Very, very tough.
Yeah,
George Takei of Star Trek fame coming back to TV in what way, shape, and form?
This is going to be Monday night on AMC at 9 p.m. It's an anthology horror show. This installment is called The Terror Infamy, and George Takei stars in it. It takes place in a Japanese internment camp during World War II, mixes in some horror and some monsters and some ghosts. Pretty much everybody missed the first installment of The Terror when it aired on AMC, which was focused more on a bunch of seamen trapped up in the Arctic and hunted by a monster there. But it's very well done. It's very emotionally charged. It's very well acted. And Takei was actually in an internment camp as a child, so they worked very heavily with him to make sure that it was authentic and accurate. So it should be a very interesting watch.
All right, I've seen promos for it several times. It looks great. As you mentioned, most people weren't aware of the first season. Is it one of those things where you needed to see the first season for any of this to make sense, or does it start with a fresh storyline?
No, The Terror Infamy, completely fresh storyline, no connection. It's not even like American Horror Story where there's like little Easter eggs throughout. It's very much its own thing.
Well, it's good to know, too, that there isn't some sort of recurring monster that has moved from the
right.
from the
right.
Arctic and now into
yes,
the tournament.
Take solace in knowing that. several people checking in by way of text, Alex, telling us where they have CBS and where it's not coming in. Several areas, a lot of Northwest Indiana, it's still not in place. But more texts calling in to say thank you to you, Alex Zelbin, for fixing the problem here in Chicagoland. You're something of a hero.
Oh, no.
You've become a local hero.
It may not have been totally me. Just
but you had a part. You had a hand in it.
See, he's a humble. It's a team
very
effort.
Humble.
You know.
Yep.
I'd say like 75% of it was me. But
all right, that's fair. A couple shows also returning this week. One of them is Glow. That's the Allison Brie show about roller skating, right? Roller derby.
Wrestling. That is back on Netflix.
Wait,
today
so wrestling and roller derby are two different things? Are you telling me those are separate?
I think they're great combined, Bill. I think so. This is from a think tank perspective. Maybe you go there, but isn't it the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling? Isn't that what GLOW stands for?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it is. This is the third season. For the third season, the cast of GLOW has moved to Vegas. They have a residency there. It's set back in the 80s. This show, I cannot say enough good things about it. Gina Davis is actually joining the cast for a surprising and amazing role for this third season as well. But it's emotional. It's funny. The episodes are all about a half an hour long, so it's very easily bingeable. And from a fan perspective, I would say Netflix has a habit of running shows for three seasons and then canceling them. When you get to the end of the third season, you'll see why you really need a fourth season. Mm. So I do hope everybody binges it, checks it out this weekend as if it was an opening weekend. It is very much well worth your time.
Is Marc Maron still involved?
He is. He has a great role in this season as well. He's the director of the show, but now that they're doing the same show every single day,
yeah,
he has nothing to do. So there's a very funny bit about him just like wandering around casinos for most of the season.
Oh, good.
Kind of doing his
that
thing.
Sounds great.
Fantastic.
And then let me ask you about one more. I only saw a little bit of this. I saw the first episode and I thought it was really interesting, but for some reason I didn't figure out to keep watching it. Succession over on HBO season 2 starting Sunday night. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so this is picking up right after the first season. I think a lot of people completely missed the first season, but it's had a slow burn like a lot of HBO shows. It's basically about a bunch of kids vying to take over their father's media empire, played by Brian Cox. Somebody here, I believe it was one of our writers, Megan O'Keefe, described it as it's like Game of Thrones if it was just Lannisters,
oh,
and that was it.
Yeah.
So it's caustic, it's funny, it's dramatic. Definitely this is one, unlike The Terror, where you have to go back and watch the entire first season because it's so dense. But do jump in. It's as good in the second season as the first.
That is Alex Zelbin. He's become something of a local hero here in Chicago for solving the CBS AT&T crisis. We appreciate you doing that, Alex. So nice of you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you a week from today.
All right, thanks so much.
That's Alex Zalbin. Wait, this is too good to not say on the air. This is way too good to not say on the air. All right, not one but two guests in studio right now. Jake Keith Van Staten and Helen Hong are here. They are the hosts of Go Fact Yourself. I have to be very, very careful when I say this out loud.
You gotta say it really carefully.
F-A-C-T.
Go Fact Yourself.
Yeah, but you can say it as angrily as you need to. Like, go fact
do
yourself.
Do people say it angrily, Helen?
Well, I do sometimes, like if I'm having a bad day.
Yeah.
And people are like, what's your podcast? And I'm like, go fact
yourself. It's more effective.
Yeah.
It's more forceful.
More effective.
Hey, borderline.
This is the kind of humor you
and
can
you're
expect
not a
to stand-up. Avoid.
Helen's a stand-up.
Yes,
you're not.
Yes, I have no excuse.
That's incredible. Earlier this morning, you guys made an unbelievable appearance on the WGN TV Morning News.
For literally point zero seconds.
What happened?
We were supposed to do a segment, and we were there early, and they were like, oh, you know, we're just running a little late. And then they finally sit us at the desk, and they're like, and this great new podcast is happening, but that's all the time we have. Bye!
They literally cut off when she was saying, we're running out of time, but if you want to find out more, the website is, and then...
At least you got that.
Literally a scene from a movie.
Now, sometimes there's, you know, breaking news or something important. Obviously,
you know what was
sometimes
very
it's traffic. Or
they had a bunch of kids outside at like a fair, and they wanted to put a package together. Of
right.
It was like their annual kids' day. And so we got bumped for like the pile of kids that was in the parking lot.
That's not right.
And a blood drive. Like, that's important.
Like, lame.
But we will be on
saving
tomorrow.
Lives.
We saved
losers.
We didn't tape a segment. We taped a segment for the morning news tomorrow that we'll be on.
Well, that's all the time we have, you guys.
GoFactorPod.com.
Why do we know? Why does this keep happening to us?
All right, explain from the very beginning, because it's such a good great idea. It's a podcast, but it's quiz show based, just like the old days.
Yes.
Just like the old days. How did all this come together?
My producer and co-creator of the show, Jim Newman, who's here, and I are huge fans of just old-timey panel game shows, but we wanted to do something with a modern twist. I'd been hosting a bunch of shows over the years, both on TV and in live theater, doing game show stuff. And so we thought, what's a way we can get celebrities to come on the show but not just talk about the stuff that they always talk about? And we thought about getting people to talk about something that they're really passionate about is always really compelling and fun, and we also like game shows. So
they pick the topics, and it can't be related to their job.
Oh, good.
So it's got to be like a topic that they genuinely are interested in. So like, people are obsessed, and it's so interesting to find out the things that people like. We've done a segment on Moog synthesizers, and like Leah Thompson, she wanted to talk about the movie Harold and Maude. It's her favorite movie, and she's seen it a million times. Yeah. So we quizzed her on that, and just people just pick. You know, everybody has like a weird thing that they're obsessed with for some reason or another.
And Harold and Maude was Bud Cort.
That's
and
right.
Helen Hayes.
Not Helen Hayes. I'm blanking on her name.
I don't know.
That one woman who's not Helen Hayes?
That woman that everybody is shouting at in their car right now.
Ruth Gordon.
Yes. Yes.
So one of the fun things that we do with the show is after the quiz, we bring on an actual expert in that topic to come on and geek out with people. So in that instance, there was an actress who had a very iconic scene toward the end of that movie and named Ellen Gere, who lives in L.A., and so we had her come on as our surprise expert and talk about the experience of making Harold and Maude.
And that's the other cool thing is that we sometimes you're able to meet the expert of the thing that you're obsessed with.
Right.
So we had a writer, a comedian friend of mine, who's a writer on Barry. She came on, and her thing was the Indigo Girls. And we actually had an Indigo Girl as the expert, and she was freaking out. She was like, oh my God, I just
That's
met an
excellent.
Indigo Girl! And we're like, we can't believe it either!
And loving the connection to the old-time kind of quiz show, game show things, and Bill and I have an affinity for Gene Rayburn, right?
You know,
love Gene Rayburn.
And I love, those shows are great.
Our model is more sort of on the what's my line, and I actually a lot of it's sort of in the tone of Wait, Don't Tell Me, which Helen is a regular on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a panelist on Wait, Don't Tell Me. We just taped it last night, so I'll be on this weekend.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
And our guests weekend, thanks to Helen, we've got Bill Curtis from Wait, and of course, legendary Chicago journalist.
Sure. Yes.
On tonight, playing against Sarah Spain from ESPN Radio.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. And tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Peter Sagal.
Yeah.
The other host of Wait, Don't Tell Me, and he's going to be playing against
Rebecca Mackay, who wrote The Great Believers. So another great Chicago
what a
author.
Lineup.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's
very,
a lot of
very
fun.
Good.
And those are just the people we can announce. There's also surprise experts who come on. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Why do you think this renewed interest? For years, game shows were such a staple on radio and television, and then they kind of faded away, but now they're coming back. What's going on? Why do you think that is?
I think it's because people realize that they're fun, and there's a way to, that you know, no matter how much you update it with new celebrities, like a lot of the ABC shows have celebrities and new sets and new music, the games themselves really were rock solid. They really worked, and so they can work in any kind of generation. So I think as long as you keep it current with the look and the feel and the celebrities and the material, it appeals to people. People love playing along.
Yeah, sure. And I think people are sick of seeing, like, you know, when you see, like, a late-night talk show and you just see the celebrities come on, they're always talking about they're plugging their movie or they're plugging their book or, you know, people are just talking very, very canned sort of interviews.
Yeah.
But with if you have a celebrity that's really talking about stuff that they're interested in and they're, like, being quizzed and they're like, oh, no, I know the answer. it's the guy who did the thing and the thing. Oh, you know, and it's fun.
What's neat is if you're a fan of that personality and you see him in whatever kind of walk of life on the professional side, and then you get to see kind of the behind the scenes and maybe them more as a personality too, and then you love the fact that they get to, you know, talk about and be quizzed on something they think they're really great at. So I'm sure there's a ton of fun moments in there.
Super.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, any, you know, one of my favorite pieces of feedback that we get from people who listen to the show is that I thought I knew everything there was to know about this person who I'm a fan of, and then all of a sudden I learned this other stuff.
I've been doing Wait, Don't Tell Me for like 4 years, and I was surprised to find out like the topics that Peter Sagal chose to be his topics. I was like, oh, I didn't even know he was into that. So you think you know somebody, and then they have all these secret things that they're obsessed with.
Let's say they were going to make a Mount Rushmore with game show hosts. Mm-hmm. Whose four heads would be on the game show host Mount Rushmore?
Alex Trebek, obviously.
Trebek, for sure.
I would put Bob Barker. We're not counting ourselves, right?
No, not okay. The two.
The two of us would be in the middle, and then Bob Barker would be on my left.
I would go probably with Gene Rayburn, and then I'm a big Burt Convy fan, so
Burt Convy was great. The host of Tattletales.
You guys are older than me, so I don't know what y'all are talking about.
What about Wink Martindale?
Would Wink Martindale be in there?
Yeah, it's hard to choose.
What about Bill Cullen? Would he be in there?
Bill Cullen would have to be up there. Alan
Ludden.
Some solid work.
Why do we have to limit it to four? Why do we have to limit it to four?
Just make it a really big mountain.
Yeah,
but what's neat too is on the trivia side, you're going to get kind of deep into some of these topics, but it isn't that general knowledge that you hear, you know, on Jeopardy or something where it's, you got to know everything about everything.
Well, one of the things we do on the show is we try to start with an easy question and a topic that everybody should be able to know, and it's supposed to get progressively more difficult as we go, and it leads up to our difficult three-part question that we call our cluster fact.
Ooh. And we've trained the audience. Every time they hear the word cluster fact, they go,
ooh.
All right, so you guys are doing two live tapings of Go Fact Yourself. I'm being very, very careful.
Yes. Well,
two live tapings.
Tonight
and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. At Sleeping Village.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is like, it's a bar with a performance space
in
really
the back. Cool.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Really cool.
Just in case you get drowsy.
Yeah.
3734 West Belmont. Are tickets still available?
Tickets are still available. Yeah. Yes, you can get them online at gofactorpod.com or in person. You can save a couple bucks on the fees.
Gofactorpod.com. And tonight, come and see Bill Curtis in the hot seat.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Do we know what his topic, what his area of expertise is?
Yeah, he chose three topics.
Is it gardening or something?
Close. His three topics that we're going to, so he doesn't know which one that we're going to choose him.
So the celebrities give us three areas, and then out of the three, we pick one that they're going to get quizzed on in depth.
Yeah.
Right. So they don't know which one of the three until the game happens.
This is great.
So his are Frank Sinatra's Big Band Music, World War II in Okinawa, and The Prairie. The entire ecosystem of The Prairie.
You know he owned the property that was the Little House on the Prairie, the house that was the Ingalls Wilder house.
I did not know.
He bought that property.
Yes.
Wow. Well, we actually did Little House on the Prairie, the TV show, as a topic on one of our shows.
Did?
Yeah,
we had the woman who played Nellie Olson.
Allison
Engram, yes.
And she looks exactly like Nellie Olson, except without the curly cues. Like, we had her on, and I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God, you're Nellie Olson!
And she probably knew, but it's still amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. Is it possible to do a small version of the show with Dane and myself?
I think we can arrange that.
All right, we'll set that up next. Stick around. Jake Keith Van Stratton is here and Helen Honger here, the hosts of Go Fact Yourself. There's a couple of tapings. We'll give you more information in just a little bit. Stick around, WGN. It's Bill Leff and Dane Neal. Dane is sitting in for Wendy. She will return on Monday, but right now, two guests in studio, Jake Keith Van Stratton and Helen Hong, the hosts of Go Fact Yourself, a podcast dealing with, game shows, and we're going to do a sample of it right now, Dane versus myself,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah. That's right. All right, this is a mini condensed version of Go Fact Yourself. Bill, you said you know... Bill, we were told that you know a lot about baseball facts, the rules of tennis, and comedy movies. Today, we're going to quiz you about baseball facts.
I'm ready for that.
All right, you got two questions. Each is worth 1 point. If you want, you can ask a hint for each question.
Okay.
Now, listen closely, because if he gets any of them wrong, you can steal, Dane.
Baseball facts. Got it.
Okay, great. Question number one. Baseball loves its stats, and one lots of analysts love is called WAR, which measures the total contributions of a player to his team. What does WAR stand for?
I don't know.
Hey, would you like that first hint?
Yeah, what's the hint?
Helen, how about that hint?
I don't know. I'm lost. Yeah. Oh. Okay. The hint.
To give him one of the letters.
One of the letters is R.
No. Tell him what it stands for.
I know
this is hard.
Replacement.
The R is for replacement.
Wins on replacement?
Is it wins on replacement, Helen?
It is not.
No, Dane with a chance to steal.
It's wins above replacement.
Oh,
that is
yes!
correct. Yes. Dane with a successful steal.
Dane, well played. You were so close. Replacement was well too played. Easy. You shouldn't have given him that.
Let's see if we can bounce back on this one. War also was a real thing that many players had to deal with as several players left the game to fight in World War II.
Yes.
What future Hall of Fame pitcher became the first active player to enlist when he joined the Navy as soon as he heard about the bombing of Pearl Harbor?
Oh. War. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
That's so true.
Helen, so how about that second hint?
What is the hint, Helen?
He won 266 games for the Cleveland Indians. And Jay Keith has been to his hometown museum in Van Meter, Iowa.
Is it Bob Feller?
Helen, is it Bob Feller?
It is
that
Bob
is
Feller.
That is correct.
Oh, nice.
All right, Bill, here now is your expert level question that requires multiple answers. It is time for your cluster fact.
Okay.
Ooh.
Thank you. All right, speaking of the Hall of Fame, Lee Smith of the Cubs and Harold Baines of the White Sox were just inducted into the Hall of Fame a few weeks ago. Besides Smith and Baines, who were three players to be inducted since the year 2000 wearing a Cubs or White Sox cap?
Now, there are no clues on this,
There are
right?
no hints in the cluster fact.
Since the year 2000, Ryan Sandberg.
All right.
Andre Dawson.
All right.
Frank Thomas.
Helen, he said Ryan Sandberg, is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct. There's a point. He said Frank Thomas. Is that correct?
That is correct.
He said Andre Dawson. Is that correct?
That is not correct.
No, I'm terribly sorry. Ron Santo. The other one. Ron Santo in 2012. Still, you got 2 points on that. Helen, what is our score as we begin the round with Dane?
At the end of that round, Bill has 3 points and Dane has 1 point.
All right, Dane, moving on to your topics. Very nice. Thanks, everybody. Dane, we were told that you... All right.
Too many applause for Dane. Way too many.
Dane, we were told that you know a lot about food, U.S. tourist destinations, and family travel. Today, we're going to quiz you about U.S. tourist destinations.
Nice. All right, let's do our best.
Dane seems nervous that you know that much about him, by the way. Did you notice that? I was fine with
Dane
it, but Dane seems very nervous.
You know how a producer works emailing people.
My Instagram with me in front of the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Niles.
All right, here are your questions. You also get a hint for each question, and Bill, you can steal if you get one wrong. Number one, Dane, this tourist attraction has attracted more cumulative visitors than any other attraction of its kind since it opened in 1955. What is the name of this theme park?
Ooh, theme park. Theme park. 55. Yeah, Disneyland.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct for a point.
Very nice, Dane.
I was going to say Grand Canyon, but...
No,
that's
right.
I think that opened in 1954.
The roller coaster there sucks.
BC.
All right. We happened to speak earlier about Mount Rushmore. Let's ask a question about Mount Rushmore.
That's a tough one.
As you face Mount Rushmore, which president's face is farthest to the right?
Well, I know it's not Gene Rayburn.
Would you like your hint?
Sure, I guess.
His land is closer than you might realize. Is land
Lincoln?
Helen, is it Lincoln?
That is correct.
Abraham Lincoln.
Lincoln.
You're two for two. Let's see if you can go for the sweep, because here is your expert level question requiring multiple answers. It is time for your cluster fact.
Ooh.
Oh, I love that sound. Yellowstone National Park was once the largest national park in the U.S. Today, it's only the eighth largest, but it's still so big that parts of it are in three different states. What are those states?
Oh, I don't even know. Okay, so let's see. Arizona. Is that one? What would it be? Wyoming?
That is a big park if it is in Arizona and in Wyoming.
I got to get my globe out. Let's see. Let's think. New Mexico. Nevada. I don't know. Is that
so
right?
What are your final answers?
Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada.
Helen, are any of those correct?
None of those.
So all I have to do is get one.
Actually, you don't get to. Well, you know, normally we don't allow a steal in the cluster effect, but in this case, we'll let you, Bill. What do you think?
Colorado.
Nope.
No, I'm sorry. You actually said it, but didn't include it in your final answer. Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. Montana and Idaho. Helen, what is our score as we head into the final Fast Facts round?
At the end of that round, it's a tie. Bill has three and Dane has three.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Comes down to this.
It is now time for our final round we call Fast Facts. I'll read 10 statements, and each contestant will answer with true or false.
Right.
I'll start with Bill and alternate between each guest. Each correct answer is worth 1 point. This will determine the winner. Again, the answer to each statement is true or false. Here we begin. Bill, Game of Thrones airs on HBO. Or
true.
Aired on HBO,
true.
Rather.
That is correct.
Dane, Breaking Bad aired on HBO.
True.
Incorrect.
No, it aired on AMC. Bill, HBO was originally named the Green Channel.
False.
Incorrect.
No, it really was. Dane, Meet the Press is the longest running show in TV history.
Yes.
Or?
Oh, true.
Helen?
Correct.
That is correct. Bill, Grease was the most produced musical by high schools in 2016.
True.
Incorrect.
No, it actually was the Addams Family musical. No joke.
Was it really?
It really was. Dane, Grease was the most produced musical by high schools in 2017.
False.
Correct.
It actually was the Addams Family for the third year in a row. Kids,
really?
The kids today love Addams
Family.
They love being creepy.
Kids love Lurch.
Bill, the first episode of Beverly Hills 90210 aired in the 1980s.
True.
Incorrect.
No, the first episode was in 1990. Dane, the last episode of Beverly Hills 90210 aired in the 2000s.
True.
Correct.
That's right, May of 2000. Bill, I, J. Keith Van Stratton, appeared on an episode of Beverly Hills 90210.
False.
Incorrect.
What? How dare you, sir?
You were on that?
I was. Dane, my big scene with Ian Ziering was cut.
False.
Incorrect.
No, it really was. And finally, Bill, I'm not bitter about it.
False.
No, that's correct. That's definitely false.
Very
We're not
bitter.
Counting that one, but let's give a hand to both of our guests while Helen tabulates the final score. Helen, are you ready to reveal the winner of today's episode?
I am. At the end of the game, Bill has 4 points and Dane has 6 points.
Congratulations, Dane. You were the facting champion in this mini version of Go Fact Yourself.
Guys, this is so much fun.
Super fun.
If people want to go see this live, of course they can. Your tapings are tonight and tomorrow.
That's right.
At Sleeping Village, 3734 West Belmont. Is there a website that people can get
GoFactYourPod.com. GoFactYourPod.com.
Seems dirty, but it's not.
And if you can't make it tonight, which we hope you still can, you can listen to all of our past episodes for free at GoFactorPod.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Yes. Promise me next time you're in town, you'll stop by again.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thanks
good.
For having us.
J. Keith Van Stratton and Helen Hong, the hosts of Go Fact Yourself, Go Fact Yourself Pod.
Nope.
No, I'm sorry, GoFactYourPod.com.
There you go.
That's where you want to visit. Thanks, guys.
Thank you
so much.
Really appreciate it.